Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current events in the life of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. On this week's program, I'd like to discuss the economics of the coronavirus pandemic, specifically the federal government's borrowing and printing money to mitigate the economic effects of the stay-at-home orders. I'm sure you've been wondering about where this money's coming from and what will be its effects. And I'm probably actually more concerned about this government stimulus and this relief package than I am about the virus itself. Now, not because I want a rich America, but printing money and debt is a serious violation of economic justice. A virus is not a moral issue, but printing money and devaluating the currency is a moral concern. So let's start off with some scripture. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 10. Differing weights and differing measures, both of them are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 20, 23. Differing weights are an abomination to the Lord, and a false scale is not good. Amos chapter 8, verse 5, to make the bushel smaller and the shekel bigger and to cheat with dishonest scales. This all applies to the government printing money and devaluating the currency. We have yet to experience here in America a period of hyperinflation like what took place in Germany in the 1920s. Because overall, Americans and American leaders have respected the rules of economic justice. We try to keep the dollar worth a dollar. But in corrupt third world countries, it's a whole other matter. There, the citizens experience runaway inflation, like what's happening in Venezuela. In 2016, the Venezuela inflation rate was 274%. In 2017, the inflation rate was 863%. In 2018, it was 130,000%. And in 2019, it was 9,586%. So since 2016, the overall inflation rate in Venezuela has been 53,000,000%. Now, in America, the inflation rate is about 2%. But even that can be a crime. But what happens in these corrupt countries is that the government wants money, but it's either impossible or unpopular to tax the people. So to raise revenues, the government just prints more money. For example, if a government doubles the money in circulation, the $1,000 you have in your bank account now becomes worth $500. That is, your $1,000 will now only buy $500 worth of goods. Because with an increase in the money supply, businesses must raise their prices. There is lag time, but it is a fixed economic law. Increasing the money supply in a closed system will always, always result in inflation. But notice the motivation governments have to print money. By printing money, they don't need IRS agents to collect taxes. They avoid the unpopularity of passing laws to raise taxes. And with inflation, everyone gets taxed across the board. Everyone's bank account is worth less because of inflation. And this is what the United States government has been doing in part for the last 30 years. The U.S. currently brings in $4 trillion in revenue, but spends about $5 trillion. So for every dollar the government spends, 20 to 25% is borrowed money, which is very similar to increasing the money supply. But if we were to balance the budget, it would mean a huge hikes in taxes for everyone. And that would be very politically unpopular. Everyone wants government services, but few people are willing to pay for it. So Congress increases the size of its income by borrowing and printing money, increasing the money supply It's a hidden way to raise taxes. And if you've ever taken a class in public policy, you'll learn that one of the rules for raising taxes for a government is that it should diversify the way it raises money, so it doesn't look so bad to the average citizen. I mean, the government could take 60% of your salary, but that looks bad. And that would cause people to hide their income. So the government has sales tax and income tax and property tax and inheritance tax and corporate tax and transfer taxes and duties and tariffs. And they add to that mix another tax that doesn't seem so painful. Inflation. The federal government can get another $1 trillion in revenue out of the entire United States gross domestic product by working into the money supply at 2% annual inflation rate. And that's the reason your new car cost $3,500 back in 1970 and now costs $35,000 in the year 2020, because the government is taxing us through inflation. You say, well, wait a minute, I earn more than I did in the 1970s. Well, yes, but through the whole inflation process, the government is skimming off money from you through the process of inflation. We just don't realize it. And as an example of how insidious this is, when the government prints money, they call it quantitative easing, which is likely a term created to deliberately obfuscate the fact that the government is just printing money. When the government's debts get too high, and when there are not enough institutions to buy U.S. Treasury bills, or when the interest rates go too high, the Federal Reserve just steps in and prints money to cover the debt. In fact, the Federal Reserve doesn't even have to print money. They just switch money from one column in a ledger to another column. Now, back in March, the Federal Reserve just created out of thin air $750 billion. And they call that monetizing the debt, which is another term used to obfuscate what is really being done. But you say, wait, okay, we get it. People don't want their taxes increased. They want the government to provide all of these services, but they don't want to pay. So everyone's happy with a little bit of inflation because it's a painless tax. But this is still economic injustice. This is what the Bible condemns and warns us against. Again, Proverbs chapter 20, differing weights and differing measures, both of them are an abomination to the Lord. A false scale is not good. Amos chapter 8, verse 5, to make the bushel smaller and the shekel bigger, and to cheat with dishonest scales. So, a Christian culture understands this. But as we as a nation become more ungodly and more corrupt, these rules are going to be ignored. Just like many moral rules in our society. You think a society that allows for LGBT and gay marriage is going to keep God's economic laws? I don't think so. And when we have unprincipled politicians, it is just so tempting to print money, to pacify the public, to give everybody $1,200 to make their life easier, and to pay businesses to furlough workers. But there is some real danger in this, not just a possibility of danger. Our legislators will cheat many people and crash the economy. Foolish economic policy will bring about disaster. You know, almost every article I'm reading about America's current fiscal policy ends with a statement about how we're entering into uncharted territory. We've never seen such high deficits. How long can this go on? It doesn't seem to be hurting the economy. But really, this is not uncharted territory. Economic law is unalterable, and an economic meltdown is on the horizon. Here's a conclusion from a National Review article. What is certain is that we are in the midst of a massive economic experiment. After a decade of near zero interest rates, the Fed enters this recession with no conventional tools at its disposal. Couple that with a massive government debt and deficits, and federal efforts to combat the crisis will need to be nothing short of inspired. Well, here are some more numbers to help us understand what's going on. The entire money supply of the United States, which is called M1 plus M2, is about $15 trillion. Now, that money is churned constantly in transactions, so the gross domestic product of the United States is larger, about $20 trillion. Since the entire money supply is $15 trillion, increasing the money supply by borrowing and printing $3 to $5 trillion this year is a huge percentage of the total money supply. And it should create serious inflation. Now, for the last 10 years, because of the federal government's overspending, the U.S. money supply has been increased on average about 6.5% per year. We should have had between 4 to 5% inflation, but for the last 10 years, we've only gotten 2% inflation. And so economists, Milton Friedman economists, are scratching their head. Now, with the coronavirus bailout, the CARE Act, the money supply may be increased this year by 25 to 30%, not just the annual 6%. So the big question is, where was the inflation in the past? Why didn't we get it? And will we get it now with the CARE Act? Well, for what it's worth, I have a theory. And it goes like this. Because the U.S. dollar is the world currency, many nations use the dollar as their currency. So the increase in our money supply has been eaten up by world growth, economically, demographically. So the money is being printed, but it is not creating inflation because we need more money in the system as the system grows. For example, when you play poker, the more people you have, the more chips you need. But Christians don't play poker, so let's use Monopoly. The more players you have in Monopoly, the more money you need in the bank. Now, what happened in the Great Depression in the 1920s is that the Federal Reserve choked off the money supply and crashed the economy. Because if you don't have enough dollars, enough of a medium of exchange, you can't play the game. So this may explain why we have increased the money supply, but it hasn't hurt us yet. But that can't last forever. Now, at this point, many conservatives, even some Christians, get all up in arms about the Federal Reserve and certain conspiracy theories about the Federal Reserve and how we need to go back under the gold standard. But I'm not of that opinion. Using fiat money is fine. It's like everyone passing around checks rather than passing around gold. Maybe I'll discuss this more in my YouTube edition of this program. But I have no problem with the Federal Reserve. It's a good system if there is economic justice. That is, if the Federal Reserve doesn't cheat by printing too much money. Because then the dollar becomes worthless. The dollar is the world currency because people trust the United States to play by the rules. And if we don't play by the rules, there is going to be a global economic crisis, maybe even war. And the point of everything I've said is really not about the specifics of economic policy, but just the spiritual principle that our greed may be our undoing. When countries collapse, when the rule of the Antichrist arrives, all of the bad policy will be fueled by lust and greed and fear and the idolizing of the state. It is people who are given over to sinful attitudes who will usher in the Great Tribulation. Historians may look back at this time and say Americans were so adverse to work and suffering that we handed out free money to everyone and we destroyed the nation. Because we thought money grew on trees. Because we thought we could borrow our way out of trouble. Because we thought someone else should take care of us. And it's all of those entitlement attitudes that resulted in legislators throwing out free money. Let me just give you two examples. First, Mitt Romney, he's put forth what he's called the Patriot Plan. And it's to give essential workers a $6,000 bonus. All essential workers. In other words, everyone who's still working. And the idea here is that since all these non-essential workers are getting unemployment with an extra $600 a week for 13 weeks, that's unfair for all those who still work essential jobs. So therefore, in order to be fair, essential workers need to get a big check from the government. So this is egalitarianism and entitlement gone awry. And it is just so foolish that I'm not even going to waste my time arguing against it. Do not answer a fool according to his folly. Now, the second example is from the notorious Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She said in an interview, when we talk about this idea of reopening society, you know, only in America does the president, when the president tweets about liberation, does he mean going back to work? When we have this discussion about going back or reopening, I think a lot of people should just say, no, we're not going back to that. We're not going back to working 70 hours a week just so we can put food on the table and not even feel any sort of semblance of security in our lives. So, AOC wants everyone to live off the government. Like she lives off the government. Remember, as a congresswoman, she gets $174,000 a year just to show up at a few meetings and talk about her ideas. But this congresswoman doesn't have any understanding of the Christian work ethic. She has too much Karl Marx and not enough Jesus Christ. Ever since God ordained in Genesis chapter 3, that by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. The ungodly have done everything in their power to thwart that command of God. They've even created fanciful economic theories to do away with work. They expect everyone to be provided for and to be rich without having to work. They despise work. They demand entitlements. The despising of work and the demand for entitlements is part of ungodliness. And when you have enough people in the culture that feel this way, the system collapses. And that's why third world countries are third world countries. They don't have the Christian work ethic. Here's an interesting article. What coronavirus era Americans can learn about sacrifice from the World War II generation. Quote, Americans in the 21st century have no idea of the sacrifices made during World War II. Today, Americans think sacrifice is when Starbucks runs out of cinnamon for their latte mochas. No doubt the coronavirus is real and scary, and there's talk in the air of World War II-style commitments, but staying home and binge-watching The Simpsons is not quite the sacrifice that their parents and grandparents made some 80 years ago. A lot more was involved, unquote. Again, so we have this virus going around, and not only does everyone shut down out of fear, but they expect a check from the government. Whatever happened to JF Kennedy? Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Here's another article from Walter Williams. Today's Americans and yesteryear's Americans. He's quoting Victor Davis Hanson at the Hoover Institute. Does anyone believe that contemporary Americans could build another transcontinental railroad in 6 years? Americans went to the moon in 1969 with supposedly primitive computers and backward engineering. Does anyone believe we could launch a similar moonshot today? We've been fighting in Afghanistan without results for 18 years. Our forefathers helped to win World War II and defeat the Axis powers in 4 years. Keep in mind that the Axis powers, Germany, Japan, and Italy, had far greater firepower than the Afghan rebels. In terms of learning, does anyone believe that a 2020 college graduate knows half of what a 1950 graduate knew? In the 1940s, young people read the works of Faulkner and Fitzgerald and Pearl Buck and John Steinbeck. I doubt that today's high school graduates could even finish The Good Earth or The Grapes of Wrath. Members of previous generations seem like giants. Is America now a roaring giant or a crying baby? So, a spiritual lesson I think we can draw from the current economic policy is that this may not be compassion to help people as much as hedonism. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 3? But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, evildoers. An ungodly nation will not endure financial discomfort. They are the type of people that will demand that the government sends everyone a check. They're the type of people that will print money to maintain financial comforts. Because pleasure and safety become more highly valued than work and sacrifice and risk and reliance on God. So there might be a whole lot more going on here than just charity, in that our politicians are tripping over themselves to hand out free money. This economic policy is a bad sign. Now, as an aside, there are those who believe that this corona crisis is a Cloward-Piven strategy. They were those two leftist sociologists at Columbia University back in the 1960s who said that the way to overturn America is to increase entitlements and to increase debt in order to collapse the capitalistic system, and then communism could take over. And I think there might be a few individuals out there that want to see the U.S. economy collapse for political reasons. But I really don't think those political strategists have this kind of power. What generally happens in a country is that the general population abandons God, loses its Christian ethics, then passes self-serving, greedy policy that destroys the country. We do it to ourselves. It doesn't take a group of secret conspiracy insiders. It just happens naturally when a people abandon God. It's Psalm 9:17. The wicked will be returned to the grave, even all nations that forget God. The economic policy, the civil liberties, that's all secondary. What matters and what's crucial is our relationship with God, our obedience to the Word of God, our walking in the Spirit of God. Let me close with God's words to Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. There's no direct word there about the right kind of financial or fiscal policy. Because if people just get right with God, God will straighten everything else out. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or to connect with the extended YouTube video version is godandcountryradio.org. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, if we give you our hearts, you will certainly straighten out our wallets. But even more, we receive the promise of eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.